MLA Pati, Pradhan Pati. The Pradhan is the woman, but in reality, her husband is the Pradhan because he tells her what to do, which shows that we are still feudal. Men are still dominating over women. Work day and night to keep the family going, feeding the family, looking after the house. They are the real heroes of India. But anonymous, women were incapacitated for long periods due to pregnancies. Women doing the indoor work, the household work of having children, raising children, washing clothes, keeping the house clean, cooking. IQ tests in modern psychology have proved that the intelligence of an average woman is exactly the same as that of an average man, that is 100. A woman can keep working right almost till the end of her pregnancy if she is working on computers. Today, in every court, I know I was a judge in Allahabad High Court, Madras High Court, Delhi High Court, and Supreme Court. In every court, there are at least 8 to 10% of the lawyers who are women. So, of course, it is still very little. It should be 50%. Today, I will speak on women's emancipation. You see, in our constitution in India, there are provisions for giving equality to women in Article 14, 15, 16. What is the reality, the ground reality in practice? It is really denial of equality for women in large parts of the country, particularly in rural area, because we are still semi-feudal. Now let me explain this to you. See, feudal society was based on physical strength. The main occupation was agriculture. There was no modern industry in those days. And agriculture was done by primitive methods, backward methods, like the bullock was used for tilling the land in India and elsewhere. The buffalo in Vietnam and Thailand and so on. In Europe, the tilling was done by the horse. Now, tilling the land required great physical effort. Men, on an average, are physically stronger than women. I'm talking of average people. An average man is physically stronger than an average woman. Secondly, women were incapacitated for long periods due to pregnancies. See, in those days, there were no contraceptives. Every woman, she was married at a young age, 14, 15. She kept on having children. Every woman in those days would have 15, 20 children. Every year there would be a childbirth because there were no contraceptives and sex is natural. But of course, most of those children died due to, because medical science was not advanced. Many died at childbirth. Even small children whose immune system is weak, they died because any small infection could result in their death because there were no antibiotics and so on. So out of those 15, 20 children which every woman had, hardly 4 or 5 survived. But the fact is that for these two reasons, that firstly, average woman is weaker than an average man, and secondly, she was incapacitated for long periods due to pregnancies. For these two reasons, women could not do the outdoor work of tilling the land, which required hard labor. Only men would do it. So there was this division of labor. Men doing the outdoor work, tilling the land and harvesting and so on. Women doing the indoor work, the household work of having children, raising children, washing clothes, keeping the house clean, cooking. And so on. There was this broad division of labor between man and woman. In wars, in those days, it was not fought with modern weapons, but with swords and spears and on horses and so on. And men being physically stronger than women, all wars were fought only by men. So because feudal society was based on physical strength, and because physically men are stronger than women, therefore it was a society where men were regarded superior to women, because they are average, on an average they are physically stronger than women. There was no equality in feudal society. Laws were also such that women could not inherit property. Now this situation has totally changed after the Industrial Revolution, which began in the early 18th century in England and spread elsewhere. Now, industrial society is not based on physical strength. IQ tests in modern psychology have proved that the intelligence of an average woman is exactly the same as that of an average man, that is 100. So, intellectually, women are not inferior to men in intelligence. That has been demonstrated by IQ tests in psychology. And in modern industry, for example, you operate the factory by computers. Even a woman can do that work. Operating a computer does not require hard physical strength. So many wars are fought, you know, nowadays even women are pilots, because in a modern jet aircraft, you can fire a missile by just pressing on the computer. So, the situation has totally changed. Now, women must be given equality with men, because industrial society is not based on physical strength, but on technical skills. And women are nowadays engineers and doctors and lawyers in all vocations. So, total equality must be given to women. See, that old separation, that old division of labor between men and women, that men doing the outdoor work, women doing the indoor work, that has broken down. Like, for instance, I go often to America and other Western countries. Now, much of the work, household work, is done by gadgets like pressure cooker and vacuum cleaner. And therefore, now, husband and wife share in the household work. The wife also is working. The husband is an engineer. He goes to his company headquarters. Wife is a doctor or teacher. She also goes in the morning to wherever she works. In the evening, if the husband returns earlier, he cooks the food. It does not take time with a pressure cooker and other modern appliances. So both do the cooking, both do the cleaning of the house, running of the house. That old division of labor, which was in feudal times, has broken down. Of course, women have still to give birth to children. Men don't give birth to children. But in modern society, you know, because it is not based on physical strength, but on technical skills, a woman can keep working right almost till the end of her pregnancy. If she is working on computers, right till the end of the 8th month, she can keep working. She does not have to give up work. Then even after childbirth, many countries, in America, I think there are laws that for 3 months, women, or 3 or 4 months, the women are given maternity leave on full pay. There's the law. And the system of creches, if your child is, say, 1.5 years, 2 years old, you can, if a woman is working, she leaves the child in the creche. And that creche is operated by skilled people, skilled men and women. They look after your child, feed him and so on. And in the evening, the woman comes to the creche, picks up the child and takes it home. And nurseries and so on. So, you're not incapacitated because of childbirth. That is not so much of a problem nowadays. But still, in our society, in backward countries like India, people prefer birth of a male child to a female child, which is a feudal thought, feudal practice. There was female feticide in many states, Punjab and all, they used to have. Then the law had to be made. Prevention of, you can't try to find out the sex of the child within the woman's womb. In India, it is a criminal offense. Whereas in America and other Western countries, it is permissible. You use what is that called? That machine.
Ultrasound.
You can find out the sex of the child who is unborn. But in India, if you use ultrasound and find out that the child is female, people were killing the child. No, female infanticide was very common, and therefore laws had to be made to prevent that. There was a practice of dowry, which is still existing in many parts of India, which is a disgusting practice. Women are still oppressed. I know I was a judge in High Court and Supreme Court. There were many cases coming where young women, young married women, they were killed. Dowry deaths, because their father could not give good dowry. Many were killed by pouring kerosene on them or hanging them. Our law courts are, in India, flooded with cases of divorce, maintenance, custody and so on. There's a flood in every court, from district court right up to the Supreme Court. We have no doubt made a lot of progress in women's education. I remember when I was a lawyer in Allahabad High Court from 1970, at that time, there was just one lady lawyer who used to come regularly to the High Court to practice. Sometimes some other girl would come, but after a few months, she disappeared, and we inquired, and we found that she had got married. So she had really come just to while away some time before she could get married. She was not serious about the profession. Today, in every court, I know I was a judge in Allahabad High Court, Madras High Court, Delhi High Court, and Supreme Court. In every court, there are at least 8 to 10% of the lawyers who are women. So, of course, it is still very little. It should be 50%. But from 0% to 8 to 10% is a big change. That is the position is in the law courts of India. Lawyer, women are engineers, doctors, scientists, in business, and so many fields, which were not so earlier. Yet, there are many practices, like, for instance, honor killing. It is done in many parts of India. If a girl falls in love with a boy of another caste, particularly of a lower caste or Muslim, often the parents or relatives of the girl kill both of them, called honor killing, which is, of course, also a disgusting practice. And I have given a judgment that there should be death sentence to people who kill a woman just because she's fallen in love and married a boy from another caste or religion. Recently, Parliament enacted a law for, I think, 33% reservation for women as members of Parliament and state legislatures. Now, they have made a law, but what is happening in reality? There were such laws for reservation for women in municipal bodies and other lower legislative bodies, local bodies, panchayats and so on. Reservation for women. But what was the reality? Supposing a woman is elected to panchayat, it was really the husband who behind the scenes is controlling that woman. He would tell her that you do this, you vote like this, you speak like this, same MLA Pati, Pradhan Pati. The Pradhan is the woman, but in reality, her husband is the Pradhan because he tells her what to do, which shows that we are still feudal. Men are still dominating over women. So if you make the law, 33% reservation for women, a large number, I'm not saying all, but large number of women who will become member of parliament or state legislature will be really controlled by their husbands from behind the scenes because our society is still semi-feudal. So they get real equality requires some kind of revolution. It requires a people's struggle led by modern-minded people like you had in Turkey, Mustafa Kemal, who abolished the discrimination against women. In Turkey at that time, women were not given education. They were kept confined in burqas and so on. He said, nothing, we will not have all this. We have to modernize. So, merely making laws will not do. They will remain on paper. To give real equality to women, you have to launch a powerful historical people's struggle for women's emancipation. The truth is that that our women in India and other underdeveloped countries are really very brave, and I'm a great admirer of them. Because in the small incomes, with their income, husbands earn, or they themselves may be earning, they work day and night to keep the family going, feeding the family, looking after the house. They are the real heroes of India, but anonymous. No, because there are crores and crores of them. But they are real heroes because they work day and night to keep their families going, feeding them. You know, 55 or 57% of Indian women are anemic. You can see on Google, 57% Indian women. There is very little iron in their blood. You see, there's so much child malnourishment in India. Every second child is malnourished. So a woman would rather remain hungry than see her child hungry. She will first feed her child and then feed herself. So if 50% children are not getting enough food, this means maybe 70-75% women are not getting enough food. This is the truth about India. See, all this talk that India is going to the moon, Chandrayaan and this and that. What about all this which I am saying? This is the reality of India. Global Hunger Index, which is an international renowned agency, has pointed out that India has slipped to position number 111 out of 125 countries surveyed. Every second child in India is malnourished, is stunted, wasted. Which means women are even getting less to eat. But yet, they are bravely doing their best, working from morning till night to feed their families, to keep the family going. They are the real heroes of India. So I salute the women of India and of other particularly underdeveloped countries for their bravery, for their sacrifice. And I wish them all well when the new system will be created in India where everybody gets a decent life and a high standard of living. That is the time when there will be real emancipation of women. Thank you.